This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Robert Robertson is scheduled to die tomorrow. He is set to be executed by the state of Texas for a crime that experts say did not happen. There is overwhelming evidence that points that Robertson's 2-year-old daughter, Nikki, did not die from physical abuse. Instead, she died from her chronic health conditions and pneumonia. Nevertheless, the Texas courts have been unwilling to hear this evidence. This morning, the Texas Legislative Committee on Jurisprudence held a special hearing on Robertson's case and on the mismanagement of the death penalty in Texas. This is what the chair, Representative Joe Moody, said at the start of the hearing, calling attention to how important it is for lawmakers to get the death penalty right, which right now doesn't seem to be the case.
If the legislature cannot exercise oversight over a potential breach of a duly enacted statute that may result in the government taking an innocent person's life, then there is no subject matter by which the legislature can exercise oversight. This may be the most quintessential and core function of the legislature. So I appreciate it very much, this hearing today. I think it is extremely appropriate that we're here.
The first witness that was called was former Palestine police officer Brian Wharton, who arrested Robertson but now says they made a mistake.
I told my wife last week that I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that I was so focused on finding an offender and convicting someone that I did not see Robert. I did not hear his voice. He's an innocent man, and we are very close to killing him for something he did not do.
Robert Dunham joins us now. He's the director of the Death Penalty Policy Project. And Robert, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So, Robert, what's your overall view about what is happening with Robert Robertson? There was an appeal that was filed yesterday again to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, and then just this morning it was shot down on procedural grounds, according to what we're being told. It seems like the courts don't want to hear the evidence, that they're locked into all of this procedural stuff. You know, it's like, well, you didn't follow the rules. There's a right way and a wrong way to try to keep someone from being executed, and you're not doing it the right way. I mean, is that what's happening?
Well, that's what the courts seem to be saying. I think there's actually more to it than that. Courts have been looking for procedural ways of avoiding the merits in death penalty cases. Clearly what the Texas courts are doing is nothing like what the legislature intended. Texas has one of the best laws in the country, if you just look at the words of the statute, in terms of allowing people who were convicted based on false science or junk science to get a new day in court. And in cases where it's the most important, where literally getting it wrong is a matter of life or death, the Texas courts are finding ways of not reviewing the evidence at all. In most of the cases where junk science testimony has been challenged, the courts have been much more receptive. In one-third of the non-capital cases, the court has granted a new trial. It hasn't granted a new trial in any of the capital cases. And so in doing that, they found procedural reasons why it was deemed inappropriate for the defendant to raise the evidence at the time that he did. But in capital cases, the evidence doesn't come and expose itself on the schedule that the court would like. It exposes itself when the defense is able to discover the evidence. And that is rarely on a timeline that can avoid one of these procedural defaults that the state court has been using to throw death row prisoners out of court.
So that's what Representative Moody was talking about, saying that they passed a law. They thought it was a good law that would help keep innocent people from being executed in the state of Texas. But the courts are unwilling to use this law. It goes to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, and they just ignore it. And he's wants to, and this, today's hearing is to try and find, what's the solution? What do they need to do to this law in order to make it work? And today it's not working. So that moving. So let me play another soundbite. And this is again from the former police officer, Brian Wharton. He's now the Reverend Wharton. He's now a minister in Palestine, Texas. And this is what he says about the appeal process.
And to those who hold the power to do something here, now is the moment. There is literally a life hanging in the balance, and there is no time and no place for half measures. We constructed an appeals system because we understood that we get things wrong. We wrote laws to work within those appeal systems because we understand that we get things wrong. It's all pointless if nobody will admit we got it wrong. Please, whoever you may be, Barden's and Parole's, Governor's Office, don't make my mistake. Listen to Robert.
Robert Dunham, what's your reaction to what we just heard there from Brian Wharton, who said that this morning?
Reverend Wharton is absolutely right. And, you know, this is a pretty decently written law. And the law is pretty clear that if the evidence is flawed, and that without the flawed evidence, the jury would have found a defendant not guilty, then the conviction or death sentence should be overturned. But that's not the way the Texas courts have interpreted it. And a law, even one that is well-intended and in some cases even one that is well-written, is meaningless. It is worthless if the courts are not willing to enforce it. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals has essentially judicially rewritten the statute so that it isn't this straightforward, the evidence is bad and it could have resulted in a bad conviction. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals has interpreted it in a way that it will only grant relief if the person can show evidence that's strong enough to eliminate any rational basis for their conviction. So it doesn't look at whether the evidence was bad and that could have caused the conviction. It looks to see if there's any other way that it can uphold the conviction. That's just not what was intended. And in death penalty cases, that can be fatal.
And it means an innocent person like Robert Robertson, who he appears to be, is due to be executed tomorrow. Today, it looks like they're moving him from Livingston to Huntsville to the Walls unit and putting him in the cell, which is adjacent to the execution chamber. That is happening. And he will be put to death. And not because he did anything wrong. It's because of the way the Texas death penalty system is set up. Our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I mean, you can be in favor of the death penalty, but opposed to the way that Texas is doing it. And I think that's a reasonable view. And I would like to hear from folks, what's their take on that? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We have the latest developments in the Robert Robertson execution. It is pending. He is still set to be executed tomorrow at around 6 p.m. A new filing to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals asking the court to consider evidence that will prove that no crime ever occurred and that he is actually innocent. That was rejected on procedural grounds. Death Penalty Action, a death penalty abolition group, is delivering petitions with thousands of signatures to Governor Greg Abbott, asking him to halt the scheduled execution of Robert Robertson. Right now in Austin, the Texas legislature in the Committee on Jurisprudence is having a special hearing called to consider what went wrong with the Robert Roberson case, what's wrong with the Texas death penalty system. I don't think these people, the lawmakers, they may be outraged, but they have no power to actually stop Roberson's execution. But they could pass new laws in the upcoming legislature to try to prevent another one. We're now speaking with Robert Dunham. He is the director of the Death Penalty Policy Project. Robert, more broadly thinking, it does seem like we're seeing a lot more death penalty executions over the past couple of months. Is that just my imagination, or what's going on?
No, that is true. We've had more executions in a short period of time, and we haven't had this many executions in such a short period in 3 decades. Now, some of it is coincidental, because the fact of the matter is we're still going to have fewer than 30 executions this year, and if we went back more than a decade, it was always higher than that. This will be the 10th straight year with 30 or fewer executions. And even more importantly, the number of death sentences is way down. We'll have actually more executions this year than new death sentences, which indicates that as far as the public and juries are concerned, they don't want the death penalty. But there are some states that are trying to aggressively carry it out. And in fact, in the last decade, almost 90% of all the executions in the United States have come from just 6 states. So we are seeing what looks like an increase, but it is these habitual executing states that are responsible for it.
Like Texas.
Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Florida, Alabama, and Georgia.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. What's your take on the death penalty the way Texas does it? And can it be improved? Should it be improved? Let's go to Bonnie. And Bonnie, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering why no one's brought up the it was a Supreme Court case, I think it was Atkins versus Virginia, that where the Supreme Court ruled it was in a violation, that it was cruel and unusual punishment to execute an intellectually disabled person.
All right, Bonnie, thank you for the call. But Robert Roberson is not intellectually disabled. He is clinically developmentally disabled, but that's and he's his IQ, although while low, is not low enough to grant him protections. And your take on that, Robert Dunham?
Yeah, I think that's right. The protection from Atkins goes to individuals who are intellectually disabled. There are issues in the way Texas enforces that as well, but the way it plays into this case is that Mr. Robinson's autism was in some ways responsible for the way in which the hospital workers and the prosecutors regarded him. They thought he had reacted inappropriately to his daughter's death, and they used that as a way of focusing on him as a potential murderer. So it does play a role here, and it's another reason why it's so important that we take a look at what the actual physical evidence tells us here. Because there were a lot of other factors that focused attention improperly on Robert Roberson as a possible murderer. The man is innocent. There was no crime. And because of his autism, he was focused on as a likely suspect.
I'm going to play another soundbite. This is from Robert Roberson. I went to Texas Death Row a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke to him for a while. And I did ask him about what he is thinking about his pending execution.
You know, we all one day is going to die in here, population out in the world. I'm at peace with God, if that's what you're talking about. I'm at peace with God, you know, because I know he has the last say and he knows what's best and stuff, you know. And it may be that may happen to protect me from some other pain later. I don't know. But I'm at peace if I have to go over there, you know. I don't want to go over there, don't get me wrong. Most people don't really want to die, you know, because I feel that God has more for me to do, you know, on this earth.
And so, Robert, talk about this, the Texas Board of Pardons, and that they have to make a recommendation that Governor Abbott would, if they say they'd give no recommendation, or they recommend no pardon for him or no clemency for him, then Abbott's hands are tied. He says, I can't do anything. But if they do recommend it, then he has the choice of whether or not to take up that recommendation, and he can provide clemency or a pardon. So is that how that works?
Yeah. Now, if they come up with no recommendation, he still has the power to grant a reprieve, which would give a little bit more time for other issues to work their way through the courts. But in terms of changing the death sentence or granting a pardon, he wouldn't be able to do that. The problem with the clemency process is that almost nobody ever gets clemency. And people who are innocent have been denied clemency and been executed. In Texas alone, the Death Penalty Information Center has identified 10 cases in which people were executed. They went through the clemency process and was turned down despite very serious doubts as to their guilt. And there have been 18 other people who are exonerated from death row in Texas. There have been 200 exonerations nationwide and 1,600 executions. That's one exoneration for every eight executions that have taken place. But there are dozens of people who are actually innocent who have been executed. And there have been very, very few grants of clemency anywhere in the country. When we see them, it's typically like we saw in Illinois, when Governor Ryan commuted the entire death row. In Texas, it's been very rare. But then again,
well, let me just point out, though, let me just say this, that, you know, in May, Texas Governor Abbott pardoned a man convicted of killing a Black Lives Matter protester. This guy was given a 25-year sentence and was convicted in the courts, and Abbott pardoned him for that. So, but when it comes to Robert Roberson, we're not seeing any action.
Yeah, and that exposes the political nature and the practical problems with clemency. What one has to hope here is that Governor Abbott understands the strong evidence, not just of innocence, but the fact that there was no crime at all. And there are a number of cases in which people have gone to death row for the deaths of children that weren't crimes. It's time that the governor see this case and grant clemency. Robert Roberson should not be executed. He shouldn't be in prison. And if clemency is to mean anything, this is the kind of case where it needs to be granted.
So if Robert is put to death tomorrow, will this case be remembered as when Texas got it wrong and should be used to rectify, change things?
It should definitely be used to rectify and change things, but I think it just underscores that the death penalty process is flawed. Texas is extremely flawed, and I think people who support the death penalty have to take a hard look and see, is this the kind of death penalty that we can support?
All right, Robert Dunham. He is the director of the Death Penalty Policy Project. Thank you for joining us. We're going to take a break here, and we'll come back and we'll do our pledge drive. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.